You know, I took math repeat, like I repeated math classes.
Oh, yeah.
They were all advanced placement, but I was unhappy with the grade that I got in them. So I would take them.
Seems
again.
Right.
This doesn't surprise me at all.
I needed 8 math credits to graduate high school. I had 11.
I also did accelerated math. And by the time I got to my junior year, which was senior math, mm-hmm. I didn't know what the fuck was going on anymore. But I could still do the math. I would take a test and they would put math problems in front of me and I would solve the math, but I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Didn't know what it meant.
No. I had stopped caring. I wasn't paying any attention in classes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just so... so tuned out at that point that it was like a heroin addict doing. It was just like I was just floating there.
No, absolutely. I get that.
There was one. I passed a test once by cheating, but by not cheating. Because I had not done any studying. I didn't. I was just like, oh, there's a fucking test and there's the math. And I was just like, I don't know any of this. And so I started like cheating off the guy next to me. And it was about halfway through the test that I realized that our teacher was really clever and had made tiny changes to every problem. Like a 3 over on this test A would be an 8 on test B.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
A 7 on test A would be a 1 on test B. To catch exactly what I was doing.
Right.
Pretty smart.
But I noticed that this was happening and was like, okay, so I reverse engineered how to solve the problem and then plugged in the correct numbers and aced the test.
So you learned in the moment.
In the moment, I learned how to reverse engineer the solution to the math problem and
right.
then plugged in the my numbers and
the actual and correct ones
solved it.
Yeah, no, you basically spent 10 minutes learning what everybody else spent 10 weeks learning.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
I got no problems with that.
Yeah, that was me in math.
Mm.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can do the math. That's not a problem. Explaining it to my poor frustrated 11-year-old daughter what any of this means.
Yeah.
is the Jeez. Problem.
She's like, you're not my real mom. Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Switzerland and I took calc. I took calculus.
Oh yeah.
In German. I had no fucking idea what was going on, but I could do the math.
Right.
And then I didn't know I was doing calculus because it wasn't called calculus. It was called, you know, level 10 math.
Hockenisch flocken freigen.
So I was just like, oh, they've got these limits and this infinity symbol. And I was like, what does that mean? And they were just like, just do the math. And I was like, okay, I'll do the math. And then I got to college and I took calculus and everybody was like, oh, calculus is so hard. And I was like, oh, that's what this is. Oh, shit. Now this makes sense.
Yeah. You also took math classes twice.
Yeah.
I did it out of stubbornness. You did it out of stupidity.
Yeah, that's totally.
Or ignorance. Ignorance.
It was
I'm gonna
ignorance.
Go ignorance. Yeah, you did it out of ignorance.
But it wasn't even that. It was because I had never taken a calculus course.
Right. You just didn't know.
Well, even if I had known exactly what I was doing, it was called calculus in Switzerland, none of those classes transferred.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't have any math credits at home. I had to take a math class. So
that's so weird.
Yeah.
Because, like, you would think math would be one of the subjects that would more easily transfer.
None of
It's not like numbers change. 2 here doesn't mean 16 over there, you know?
So here's the weird proclivity about my...
Oh, I feel like we should be recording for this.
Okay. Greetings, Apropossi. Salsa, we're doing a thing.
Keep talking.
Oh, yeah.
We'll intro later, but like, yeah.
All right.
Okay, so here's the weird thing.
When I was technically not an exchange student.
They didn't exchange you for anyone?
I was...
No, they returned him.
No. I was an exchange.
For store credit.
Because the year that would have been my senior year...
Sure.
They increased the credit requirements for graduation.
Okay.
The class before me needed 30 credits to graduate.
All right.
My class needed 31 credits to graduate.
Okay.
I ended my junior year with 30 credits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If I had then gone and been an exchange student in another country,
mm-hmm.
I would have then come back with not enough credits to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And would have to take another year of school.
Oh my god. You can't summer school that shit. God.
I did summer school it, which is how I got to 30.
Okay.
But that's what they were going to have to do.
All right.
And so I went to the school board and said, hey, can I just graduate now? I've got the credits. And petitioned the school board. School board approved it. I graduated. And
you graduated the end of your junior year.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then went off and lived in Europe for a year, going to school there.
He took a gap year between there and college.
But he went to school during his gap year.
I went to classes.
Okay.
But none of that mattered. No, none of those.
Whose line is it anyway?
I wasn't getting credits for any of that. I wasn't like, you know, none of the high schools didn't care. Colleges didn't care. None of that was.
You were just over there learning shit.
I was
to hide you from the public.
Yeah, I went there to learn things and how to meet people and stuff. But I did not earn any school. That's crazy. While I was there, didn't matter. So yeah, it was just a weird little thing that, again, most people would not have had a problem with, but for me, it was just a weird little thing that was
because
And so I graduated and then went off and had my gap year. Where I still went to school anyway, because the people that were paying for it wanted me to. And then I came back and I went to college. But mm-hmm. yeah.
That's
of the, like 50 or 60 something credits that I would have needed to graduate high school, I had 13. I was absolutely dead last in my grade for grade point average. And I was told, my counselor said, if you're so smart, if you're smarter than everybody here, then you should be able to go and take the GED test and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you get a B or higher, I've got it worked out with this program. If you get a B or higher, then you skip all the classes, you take the final exam, and you leave with your GED. And then you're out of here and you don't have to worry about it anymore. If you're so smart. And so I took the exam. I had about a 25-minute nap in the middle of it. I got a low A. And then I just goofed off for another 2 years in high school.
Yep.
Because it was the only way that I was going to get free Russian classes.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my friends were there.
Yeah.
And it was something to do during the day.
Yeah, but you already had your... You had it.
But I had my... Yeah, and then after everybody graduated, I went and I took my final test and got my GED the same year that all of my friends graduated from high school. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
My high school education was pretty fucking standard. Like...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't in the top 20, but like barely for my class. Also, my class was 333 people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So like not hitting the top 20 people in that one wasn't as big a deal.
Sure.
Yeah. I was like, fine with that. Mm-hmm. Like everything was pretty fucking standard overall for my high school. For college, I went to two different schools. One of them was... it was Minneapolis Business College, which I called mm-hmm. a glorified junior high.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 2-year computer tech degree in 16 months, which was important because I was on welfare and, you want to get off that as soon as you can. So, mm-hmm. but like they had passing time.
Huh.
The school had bells.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is a college.
Is it?
Enough of one. They were able to give me an AAS in computer applications and programming.
Dang.
It's a little bit beyond the equivalent of an associate's.
Yep.
It's an associate's in applied science, so it's like an associate's with a focus.
Yep.
When I started, it was a class of like 67 people.
Mm-hmm.
Three of us were female. When I graduated, here's the fun part. So I graduated high school, class of 333.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated my AAS college, 33 students. And I graduated top of my class for 33.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 3.97 GPA.
And when she gets her master's degree, it'll be 3 students.
Exactly. And yep.
She'll be the top of those students, too.
If she ever gets a PhD, it'll be 0.3 students.
0.3 students.
It'll be one-third of a Jenna.
Yes, that is probably correct. But yeah, I was also of that class of 33, the only woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
32 dudes yeah. and Jenna.
That's the worst sitcom I've ever heard of.
Oh. I've seen that porn movie.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty sure I saw it too. I was like, wait a minute.
Oh.
Greetings, Apropossian, and buckle up for the sex.
Buckle up for the 32 dudes.
It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Sure is.
And we're just fucking with things tonight, bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird night.
We're recording online for reasons. I'm sober for reasons.
For reasons.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm drinking... for this month, I've specifically gotten a bunch of different sparkling waters.
Ooh.
And so I got something called Nixie. And it's a lime ginger.
I love Nixie.
Yeah. Lime ginger.
Hey, Nixie, and, you never come out anymore.
It's all right. It's a bit limier than I expected, actually. I was hoping for more like a ginger beer with lime.
Sure.
And what I got was lime with like a dash of ginger, and it's not quite the balance I was hoping for.
Nixie went off and joined the Navy. She's a limey now.
I mean, it's still good. I'll still drink it, but What are y'all drinking?
I have a gin and ginger.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
It's an excellent choice.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's also
tell me you're
me
drinking
to get the...
something with ginger.
No, but I am ginger.
No, James put some onions and garlic in a pan.
He also told me to get the goddamn Jack Daniels cocktails out of his fucking house. And so I have some.
You're drinking a goddamn Jack Daniels cocktail.
I am having the Jack Daniels country cocktails, berry punch. It's not good, but it is here and open.
Mm. She adds some ginger to it.
It tastes like college. Tastes like somebody, like, I figured out what this tastes like. It tastes like somebody got one of those cans of juice concentrate.
Okay.
And they didn't mix it with water. They just mixed it with the cheapest, like, variety of liqueurs that they had. Just like the bottom pinky finger of fucking
shittiest vodka or
a Silver Wolf, and they've got a
$5 bottle
Dorado and anything they could throw in there. There's a
nail polish remover,
swig of beef eater and
hydrogen peroxide.
Oh god,
yeah, probably, yeah. But yeah, it tastes like garbage can punch.
All right. So I did. I graduated after 3 years. Went to Europe and was a student there, even though it didn't matter. Then I came back to the States, and I went to college at Gustavus for a year and a half before they kicked me out.
Seems good, right?
For bad grades. No, sorry, 2 years. I didn't finish 2 years because the first semester I was put on probation. After the second semester, I was taken off probation. After the third semester, I was put back on probation. And the fourth semester, I was out. So I did.
The fourth semester, it burned down and sank into the swamp.
So I did do 2 full years at Gustavus.
Okay.
Then I went to Normandale Community College.
Nice.
And I did 1 year there. After the first semester, I was put on probation, and after the second semester, they kicked me out. Because I am not a good student.
Yeah, it turns out very similar to my 3 colleges that I attended.
Yeah, I had my advisor was. Mm-hmm. Pissed off.
I advise you to do better.
He was really pissed off. No, he was my Latin professor, and he was pissed off at me because he was.
So
like,
he said, "I advise you to do better," but he said it in Latin.
Yes. No. He was like, "You come in here every single day, and you sit there and you ask amazing questions, and you clearly understand what's going on, and you take the tests, and you do great in them." Do your homework.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This is homework. That's
this is
all
exactly my experience.
All you've got to do is do your homework. Fuck. And I went, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
oh, is that all?
And then I would leave his office and go to fucking SCA or juggling club or anime club or something like that. And that was,
I'd go fall asleep in the green room.
Yeah. So that was, and then, after getting kicked out of Normandale, I took a decade off. Because this was clearly not working out.
This was neither the time nor the place.
Yeah. And then I married a teacher.
There you go.
And that is what I needed. Because then I went back to college and I got 2 degrees. yeah, it took me 2 years to get the first one. And then I realized I had enough credits to only have to go back for another semester to get the second.
Oh,
so I did.
That's wild.
Well, there you go.
I approve.
So
I really feel like, cause everybody here is a little, neuro spicy in their
just
own way,
bit.
Shape or form. I feel like this entire situation where I'm graduating like top of class, all of this other stuff, because I can do my fucking homework. Because I have this beautiful thing called executive function. But I feel like this really highlights the difference between like the ADHD neurospicy and the not ADHD neurospicy. Like this is, this is, and it's not always super easy to focus on your homework. Even if you do have executive function. There are other neurospicy things that can be distracting.
Certainly.
But it's not like, if there were stereotypes that we could just throw into the room, like y'all are hitting that just spot fucking on for the homework stuff and the everything else. And I'm just like, I also went to two different colleges. I went to Hamline for the first year. And I was working full time and going to school full time. Because my parents weren't helping me. And I had a lot of grants and scholarships, but I also still had a lot of debt. So I was doing all of that. Kind of got burned out towards the end of the first year. Then got knocked up. So didn't go back to Hamline. I might have enough credits there in between Minneapolis Business College to be able to like scrape something together to go back for another year or two and get an actual 4-year degree. I'm not sure. It's been 25 years though, so I really haven't looked into it much. But yeah,
my dad had gone to college and he had gotten like half of the credits that he needed to graduate. And then he had to set all of that aside for 20 years to just hold down a job. And at some point he started working for a place that told him that if he wanted a raise, that they needed him to get a degree, but that they would also pay for the rest of his degree. So he needed to figure that out. And he called one of the colleges that's local here. And they said, well, how long has it been since you were in college? How long has it been since your last confession? And he said, well, I've been, you know, doing all of this work in the last 20 years. And they said, okay, so what, you know, what businesses, all of this stuff. And they checked on it. And the person put him on hold for like 5 minutes, came back and said, so all of that is enough practicum credits for you to just graduate. Do you want to do that?
Ta-da!
I should really do that. Which school was this again?
Metro State. See anything that I'm doing. probably for the best.
I'm trying not to see anything that you're doing, frankly.
I'm not looking.
So anyway, what have you guys been up to?
That stuff.
I mean, I could start. I got my period.
Okay.
Weren't you
medicated to not get my
not
fucking period?
To do that anymore?
Yeah, I sure the fuck was. I've had my period for almost a week now. I am mad. I am angry. I am livid. I was hoping if I just swapped out my rings that maybe the other ring was mildly defective and the new one would just pop everything back into place. Nope. Yeah,
that's not so, how that's supposed to work.
I will say, at the very least, it is lighter than my periods have been historically.
I mean, that's
so that's kind of nice, good. Except for the fact that I'm not supposed to be having one at all now. Like the whole point was for me to not have periods,
right?
Period.
So, period. So, yeah, I do have a follow-up with my doctor at the end of the month, and I'm going to be like, so, remember when I was like, yeah, I don't know if that hormone therapy is going to work for me? Guess who was right? I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but...
These are the rain gauge measurements that I made chart out of. And
here's the frustration. I had my doctor has been fantastic, and I'm sure when I bring this up to her, she's going to continue to be fantastic. When we originally had the conversations in the end of October, she was like, it is ultimately up to you. If you want to go with the hormone therapy or if you just want to go with surgery. She's like, I really think you should do the hormone therapy because of all any kind of a surgery is a risk. There's, you know, all of these other things. You fluctuate with anemic tendencies, which can be tricky for scheduling. Like there's a whole bunch of reasons to to just fucking try hormone therapy. So like I was like, all right, let's try hormone therapy. So basically I'm going to talk with her about it. And maybe she's going to be like, maybe we could try this type of hormone instead. I'm not, I don't know that I want to do all of that. I don't want to bounce around. I had a hell of a time with this round. Frankly, there's a part of me that did not like the person I was the first couple of months I was trying to suss out this whole hormone therapy stuff. And yeah, so I think I'm probably going to just push to have a hysterectomy, chuck everything. And not have to worry about that aspect of it. I can't have a period if I don't have a uterus. I can have the hormonal fluctuations, but I can't have bleed out of my vagina for 10 days straight at a concerning rate. So like that's that's really what I'm looking to do here. Well, I mean that's the primary goal, actually. It's the heavy bleeding has always been the biggest issue, especially with my anemic tendencies. So yeah. But so now I'm frustrated because if we do go for surgery, now it's going to end up being a few months, right? Like that shit takes forever to schedule out. Which means I'm going to be undergoing surgery, I don't know, May, June, July, maybe August.
Are you busy around then?
So there's a part of me that's like, I just can't plan my fucking year now. Because I don't know when I'm going to be in surgery, what I'm going to be doing, how long it's going to take. I have a rough idea of recovery because, you know, I can Google. But like that's I until I have something scheduled, I literally don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm pretty cranky about this, and this probably means that I will not be able to do tourney again.
God damn it.
I mean, maybe it'll go quick.
It's not just about recovery, which
I'm saying maybe I'll get scheduled for February.
That's adorably optimistic, and I never thought I would say that about you, Salsa, but here we are.
I am nothing if not optimistic.
Yeah.
It was the adorably that was really the catch on that, Salsa.
Listen, you fucking scab. You join the union.
Don't scare me. I'm sticking to the union.
But yeah, so this is exactly what I was concerned about when I was like, all right, I'll try hormone therapy first. Again, nothing is said and done until I have a conversation with my doctor at the end of the month, but I'm unhappy.
Understandably.
My roommate is amazing, though, and bought me a whole bunch of chocolates, so. And also, my dry January has become slightly less dry because sometimes when you're cramping, the only thing that's going to work is a nice hot toddy. So, yeah. Might try another dry month to compensate, but
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm
you
still
know,
reducing my booze an awful lot. So
while you're recovering from surgery, seems like a good time.
Right. I feel like that's going to be mandatory.
That's going to be a dry month right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Anyway, that's my biggest news right now. And me being angry.
Yeah.
So
I inadvertently became the local expert on running hockey scoreboards.
Oh.
Well done. Ooh, wait. I'm wearing my frog shirt.
Very nice. My daughter had a few hockey games over the weekend. I also volunteer. It's the whole Minnesota hockey is very much volunteer run. And so like I pay X number of dollars for her to play hockey, and then there's volunteer hours on top of that that you need to fulfill.
Okay, sure.
And if you don't fulfill those volunteer hours, then you just pay more.
My daughter was in theater, I remember.
Oh, okay, perfect. So there was a tournament for the boys at some point, and so I did my volunteer hours and I ran the scoreboard for that. And the coach of the Edina team was fucking Zach Parise, who was one of the highest played players in Wild history.
Okay.
Like he was the captain of the New Jersey Devils team, and then he got a, like, fucking 20-year contract or some shit like that. Like, ridiculous. It was not 20 years, but it was like a 7-year contract or something like that with the Wild. Got paid
something ridiculous,
ridiculous amounts of money. One of the better players in Wild history. He retired and now he's coaching little league hockey for Edina. So,
oh, that's so cute.
But so that was kind of fun. But anyway, so my daughter, that by the way was just a little snippet that I found amusing and interesting, and people
absolutely
know hockey will absolutely be like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Anyway, no, my daughter
that one other person in our listenership.
Yeah, exactly. No, so but I've been running scoreboard for this because I've done scoreboard stuff before.
You've got a history.
Yeah. So my daughter has a game in Edina on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I was volunteered to sit in the penalty box.
Mm.
So they've met you.
Yes.
Right.
You have somebody who monitors the penalty box. Basically what they do is that way if there's a player in the penalty box, when their penalty is over, they can just leave.
Yeah.
They don't have to close the door behind them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make
sure it latches properly.
Exactly.
Jiggle the handle.
Yeah. No, it's somebody who's in there.
Yeah. Otherwise it doesn't flush.
That can not necessarily do coaching, but to just be like, you know, your coach is signaling that you need to either go straight to the bench and change out for a different player or join the play or something like that. And then they take off and you close the door. That's really the biggest job of a penalty box monitor is closing the door.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something they need. They need somebody to go and do that.
Right.
So I'm sitting in the penalty box for this game against Edina. And they, before the game even started, were having trouble running the scoreboard. Because, dear listener, if you are unfamiliar with a hockey scoreboard, it is not as easy as you think it is.
I didn't think it was easy.
It is not a nice intuitive layout with a touch screen or any such shit. It is a gray box with confusing buttons.
Okay.
And based on the model, they run differently, and it can be a nightmare if you don't know what you're doing with one of these, because they have like one line display of like the what's it called where the numbers are made up of the like six different like bars.
Oh, yeah. You like like the 80s alarm clocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't remember the term for it.
You have one line of that.
Segmented digits or something.
Yeah, it's like one line of 8 characters. That's what you get for the screen. And so you've got to navigate menus through this little display.
Oh my God.
So if you're doing like multiple penalties, for example, you've got to know how to navigate through this menu while using
quickly.
Only this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause the referee is sitting there looking at you going, can I drop the fucking puck? So, and one thing goes wrong and then it just becomes a panicky, like, poking at buttons, and you're like,
absolute clusterfuck.
And then you're lost. You're lost in a menu that you have no visual way of seeing where in the menu you're lost in, and you just it gets very confusing very quickly.
Sure.
Yeah.
So even before the game, even before the game starts, he's already having trouble with this thing, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be. So I did not want to be that guy. I was just like, this is not my arena. This is not my monkeys.
Not my monkeys.
They will figure it out. I'm just going to sit. And like, we got closer to game time and they were still.
Oh,
and so I sidled over and went, oh, you gotta go do the
was that the old M99?
Yeah. So I kind of went over there and nudged them, and they were like, oh yeah, kind of nudged them in the right direction a little bit, and they were like, oh okay, yeah, no, they got it figured out, and the game started, and then the game started, and we had at a certain point things rapidly went to shit.
Oh no.
and so. It was like one of the, I was sitting there just going, this is not my problem, not my problem, not my problem. Give me the board. And I went, because he had stuck two-minute penalties on the board already. And at this level, it's minute 30 penalties. So he already had two-minute penalties on the board. And the referee was looking at him like, let's fucking go. We need to. And finally, they were just like, one guy pulled out his phone and like put a minute 30 on his phone. Was like, we're Jesus. Doing it this way. We just need to fucking do this. And so like they started play with these two-minute penalties still on the board, not knowing it.
Oh,
just
my
like,
God.
Just move.
I
stepped in and I cleared the other and I put up the new end. It was. Whistle blew and I was like, how much time is left on that one? He was like, this much time, and I typed it in and I got it up on the board, and everything was just like, oh. And they were just like, oh, thanks dude. glad you knew what you were doing. It's like, yeah.
This is how Jenna feels watching us do anything.
100%.
Yes,
I know exactly, because and again, I did not want to be that guy, but
I know, right?
Having to be that guy.
I understand this so hard. There have been times where I've just watched people fail and I'm like, this is the question. Is this a big enough deal to where I should have to step in? Right.
And it
sometimes people just get to fail. Sometimes, you know, and that's how people learn. Mm-hmm. And you just sit there and you sip your tea.
No, the thing is they had already failed. The lesson was learned.
And then there are other times where there is no learning the lesson. The lesson keeps being delivered and not received, and things need to function and move forward. And those are the times where you have to step in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I mean, I'm like minutes.
Yeah, that's passing. My life.
Minutes were passing while everybody, the referees, the players, the coaches were all just waiting.
Oh my God.
For this to get resolved. And it was just like, no, okay, no, I can't just not do anything anymore.
It's like watching a person on the train tracks and there's a train coming, but it's moving at like 0.5 miles an hour.
It's like,
and there's like a good fucking 2 miles between this train and this person on the tracks, and you're just watching, you're like, surely the person is going to move off the tracks. And then you're still watching, and the train is like pulling on the horn and just like.
And I want to be clear. I'm not. Yeah, I want to be clear. I'm not like making fun of them or anything like that, because
there
are multiple different boards that you can.
And you've
encounter.
Said this particular one is exceptionally complicated. This one,
because some of the newer boards, for example, for penalties, some of the newer mm-hmm. boards have a set penalty and a clear penalty button.
Ooh.
And what you do is you set a penalty, you press the penalty button,
mm-hmm.
player number, enter, time, enter, done. That's what you need to do. To clear it, you press clear it, select which one you want to clear, and you're done.
Nice.
On the other ones, the older style, there's one button.
Okay.
For setting and clearing penalties.
All right.
So you need to press that button.
Jesus.
And then instead of entering a number, you need to basically hit enter to enter into the menu of the penalties and then decide whether to clear or create and then enter into that. And then you can enter player number and time and stuff like that. So there's like a menu that you need to navigate. But again, you've got this single line of display telling you what you're doing, and that's
Jesus.
It has no information on it. You kind of need to know the sequence of numbers of button pushes, and if you don't know where you are in that sequence of button pushes, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So, and it is the old style. It is more very confusing. If you don't know the sequence of buttons that you need to push, you will get lost. So, no shade to them whatsoever. But it was that really uncomfortable moment of just like don't get involved. Don't get involved. This is not your turf. They've got it. I'm doing it.
Don't got it.
And then the game got over. We got done. We're in the hallway, waiting for the girls to finish changing and come out of the locker rooms. And one of the other parents walks up to me and he's like, I didn't realize you were doing timekeeper for this arena too.
God damn it.
You're like,
yeah, me neither. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. James.
Well, congratulations on job security. I believe that's what we call that.
Sure.
Yeah, James, what have you been up to?
I've been working really hard to develop my skill in designing 3D prints.
Okay.
I'm still kind of at a really basic level. I'm still using tools that are comfortable for me.
Sure.
But I was able to create a couple of gifts for people, and I really like my graphic design. I think I've got a particular style, but translating that into 3D, and especially translating it into 3D with different color filaments and that kind of stuff.
You're doing color changes.
Wait, like color changing cups?
Different from that. But everybody loves color changing.
I still have four color changing cups, by the way.
I think I've got one of them knocking around here somewhere too.
Figuring out how to turn the skills that I have into layered 3D prints is super difficult on a printer that only prints one color. The hardest part about it is you cannot print two different colors at the same layer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the way that I have to swap filaments is to notice that it is at the part where I want it to change color, go go into the web interface on my phone, pause the print, wait for the print head to clear, and then have it eject the current spool and then cram another one in there.
I'm sorry. You're doing this on your phone?
Yeah. Yes.
I assume it's a phone app.
No.
To be able to navigate it.
So when I got this printer, it had some weird non-factory firmware on it.
Right.
And I couldn't get it up and running. So right. I worked with a friend of mine in order to install something completely different.
But there is a printer that you navigate with an application on your phone.
It's a web interface on a locally hosted website provided by the printer hardware.
Okay, you're stuck on the app portion of it. You are navigating the actual hardware of the printer with your phone, regardless of how you're doing it.
Yeah.
The phone isn't doing the printing.
No.
The phone is navigating the printer.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not like doing your design work and stuff on the phone.
No, I am doing the design work on the phone. Yeah.
You're doing 3D.
Yeah, this design. Part I designed this on my phone. I'll take a photo of it.
No wonder you're having such a hard time.
Actually, it's been much easier than trying to do it through a lot of other tools.
A desktop
tool? Yeah. Weirdly, that's easier for me to grasp. That's a much simpler tool for creating, primitive 3D shapes.
Is there a touch aspect to being able to design on the phone as opposed to like on a desktop without touch?
Weirdly, not.
Okay.
No, because I mean,
like I can pinch and adjust and whatever, like doing things like that.
If anything, that makes it fucking more difficult because accidentally, like tapping the wrong place will slide a piece out of alignment but there's something that I innately grasp about the interface versus a lot of the tools that I've tried to use online with downloaded desktop apps.
Wow.
Have an extraordinarily steep learning curve.
That is insane to me that you would be doing all of this on a phone.
The little faceplate for it, I designed, I'll take photos of these, but the little faceplate that I designed for this most recent piece, I drew in a vector program that I'm super familiar with that I use for the vast majority of my graphic design because I found a way to translate the layers of that vector drawing into layers for the print. And so it took a practice and figuring it out, but I still don't have a good grasp of powerful tools like Onshape or SketchUp or any of those. I have been actively trying to learn them, but I've been falling back to programs that I already know or programs that I can just innately very quickly figure out. And so, I'm really pleased with the results. But again, this like changing the colors on this, changing the filaments on this is a matter of timing. Going into the web interface on my phone, telling the printer to pause, parking the head off to the side, and then swapping the filament out, and then having it print a couple layers in that color, and so forth. Like, but it's it looks a lot nicer than a single color. And at some point, I may invest in a printer that can do multiple colors on the same layer successfully. But for now, I'm doing the things that I understand in a way that kind of sucks, but it successfully makes a thing.
I mean, if it works, it works.
Elsa's just staring a hole directly through me.
I'm just baffled that you're doing it on your phone. I can't imagine trying to design things.
To be fair, I feel like between the two of you, the desktop computer followed by the laptop computer is your...
Your laptop tool. Is what I meant.
Okay. But like that's still kind of like your tool, your vibe, your focus. James has always been kind of a phone dude.
Yeah, I don't like to do things on
like
my phone.
Yeah, and it's different. I like doing a bunch of stuff on my phone too. I do my banking through my phone the majority of the time. I pull up monthly banking statements and reports so that I can do budget stuff. But almost everything else I do is like, I just do through my phone.
My design work, my budgeting and banking, my everything else, I'm using both. I have like very particular tasks that I assign to the phone.
That's what I said about my banking stuff. Yeah. Like the vast majority of the stuff I do on my phone, but there are things like once a month I use my desktop, download the information, adjust my budget stuff accordingly.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I meant at the same time. Like when I'm doing the budgeting, I've got the spreadsheet and I've got a couple of windows open on the desktop or the laptop. Right. And then I'm using different apps to go through like purchase histories and receipts. I'm looking my text messages and all of that stuff. So
I'll absolutely do that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, my phone is a looking up things box. I look.
You have a pocket computer and you're not computing with it. I don't understand.
I look things up and I use it to listen to podcasts and I use it as a calculator and to, you know, do that sort of thing. But if I'm going to be like doing anything important, it's going to be on my laptop.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, like 95% of my computing happens on the phone. I'm not going to lie.
Whatever platform has the app, that's the one I'm going to use. But especially when I'm standing directly in front of the printer for a filament swap or something like that, using the web interface on my phone is absolutely going to be way superior to, you know, dragging a laptop or having a desktop over there or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, y'all can just get off my lawn.
I'm not on your lawn. I'm on the internet right now. I'm on Discord.
That's my lawn! I am a god,
bitch,
after
please.
All.
No. God of what, though?
Exactly.
God of old men?
No, the god Gross. Of what?
What are you the god of? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Third base.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
I think we better
have. We should.
Yeah.
I could use a drink.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ooh, I have peppermint soap in my closet.
I have closets.
Is that a euphemism?
No, don't ever put peppermint soap in your closet.
Giggity.
Jesus.
That's
and we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
All right. Today's Fast Five comes to us from the place. Yep, it's over here.
I watched that happen.
Yep.
Pretty fucking good.
An committee.
Oh.
Oh, shit. Ooh. The committee's back.
No. Not the committee. An committee.
An committee.
Oh, all right.
It sounds non-committeal.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Opening thoughts.
God damn it.
Not the whole committee this time. And the incorrect grammar was intentional, regardless of it.
Okay.
No, okay. Kind of? Maybe, sort of. Not the whole committee this time, and the incorrect grammar was intentional, regardless of if Salsa corrected it automatically. I corrected the correction?
Yeah.
So...
But you did not say a committee.
So half marks.
So Moz or Irks?
No, just not angles.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Just 0.5 all the way down. All right. Question number one. Food poisoning.
No!
Or norovirus.
No!
I'm going to say norovirus is worse.
I was going to say I would rather get food poisoning.
I would rather get food poisoning.
Because that's quicker.
Yeah, you're shitty and then...
And you're not going to spread it.
That.
And the next day you're good.
Well.
Yeah, you might be a little wimpy the next day.
Sure, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like. Oh, okay.
It's not 7 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not worried about passing it on to somebody else. You're just like, well, guess I'm going to find one of those cushy seat cover things and hang out for a bit.
Just going to sleep here for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And norovirus sticks to surfaces for multiple days.
Mm-hmm.
Resists a lot of different kinds of sanitizer.
Everything, yeah.
So, that's another advantage that one would have choosing food poisoning.
Yeah, I'm going to say I would rather have food poisoning.
Yep, agreed.
So I'm going food poisoning.
Same, yeah.
All right, question number two. Holiday cheer or wassail? Give me the wassail.
I was about to say, wassail is booze, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that.
Good. All right. Yeah, question number three. Michael Bublé.
Okay.
George Michael.
I don't understand any of this.
I don't
know what's happening.
So I know who Michael Bublé is.
Yeah.
But I couldn't for the life of me.
Is he the inventor of Bublé water?
That's pretty funny.
Thank you.
So it might be. So Michael Bublé did a bunch of the like crooner holiday classics.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Bublé is famous for being that like old big band style crooner, but I couldn't tell you anything like any of his songs.
He's literally just covered the like the crooner hits.
He's
Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra.
Okay, like, I think
Bing Crosby.
Kind of.
Where's George Michael? He was in Wham. Like I know a lot of Wham songs. Wake Me Up Before You Go. That's that one.
I thought that was the Go-Go's.
No, what? No. That was
I got it. It was not.
No, I actually wasn't joking. Like I didn't realize that was a Wham song.
No, the Go-Go's is a female group.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize it. I know a few Wham songs. Like Careless Whisper is a George Michael and Wham.
Yep, Careless Whisper. Song.
Obviously Last Christmas.
Yep.
Infamously is a Wham song.
Right. Which is actually why I'm like, I feel like this might be a Christmas
yeah.
thing, right?
Which song
is there an equivalent to Whamageddon for crooner songs?
It might be Baby It's Cold Outside.
Oh shit.
Because I know that there's a Michael Bublé version of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Let It Snow. I like Let It Snow.
I don't. Oh, well.
I'm going to say I would rather hear Bublé during Christmas time. There's something traditional feeling about it.
Yeah. Because it reminds me of having the Bing Crosby Christmas record.
Right.
George Michael did Faith, right? He was.
Yes.
I gotta have faith.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's a fun
gotta
one.
Gotta have faith. Faith.
You gotta have faith.
Faith. I'm going with that one.
Baby. Oh, good. All right.
Yeah, that one, definitely.
Okay.
Question number 4.
Ooh.
One thing.
Okay.
Or all the things. All the things includes the bad things, too. And I don't.
Yes, it does.
Things. So just give me the one thing.
Huh.
Bad times, too.
That's so unusual for you, Salsa.
Okay.
I'm used to the Salsa answer being all the things.
No, I don't want to have to deal with the shitty shit.
Or like whenever it's one or two, two. If it's two or three, three.
Yes, of course.
Those can include bad things too.
Yes, but there's fewer of them, not all of them.
What was the thing? Hold on.
I can
what was
deal
the
with
thing?
Two bad things. I'm
what?
Talking to them.
What was the thing where it's like a meme or a thought thing where somebody's like, at any given point in time, there are a certain number of dead bodies in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And people are still willing to go swimming in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a dead body in a pool, people are completely unwilling to go swimming in the pool. Therefore, there is a dead body to amount of water ratio at which people are comfortable swimming with a dead body.
Yes.
Yeah.
For some reason, this reminds me of that. Like, there is a certain ratio at which you are just, that is too many possible bad things.
Yeah. That's called life.
I don't know that I agree with that.
That is kind of literally.
I think
life is
way more than just that. I think
life is deciding just how much bullshit you're going to deal with before you just finally say no.
Listen, God.
Yes.
I don't think you get to define life.
The gospel according to this guy says I can't.
We shall now read from the Gospel according to Saint Bastard.
I'm going to say one thing.
Yes, go ahead.
God damn it.
I'm angry.
Salsa, damn it.
I'm going to quote Billy Crystal and say that it all comes down to this one thing.
Timing. Okay, good.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
I couldn't eat all the things.
No, because that includes cars.
I would want to.
Car.
And airplanes and people's left toes.
I mean, there was a man
Ooh,
that ate
I bet
airplanes.
Yachts are tasty, though.
Was the guy that ate the airplane also the guy that they found out was probably eating babies? Was that the same guy?
I have concerns.
Because there was, like, famously, there's a man who ate airplanes and bicycles and, like, all kinds of things like that. But then there was also someone who got in trouble at the hospital because, like, bodies went missing and children and pets and stuff.
You read different news places than I
do. And I'm wondering, yeah, no shit. I don't know if it's the same guy.
I cannot help you with this one. I have nothing for this. And I know you said famously, but I'm unaware.
Honestly, I thought everybody knew about the airplane guy.
Nope. Huh. Not everybody. Not this guy.
So wait.
Anyway.
What was the question?
One thing or all the things?
One thing or all the things? Yeah. So one thing.
One thing.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes.
Question number 5.
5, 5, 5, 5.
Yes or no?
I'm feeling positive. I'm going to go yes.
I'm feeling magnanimous. Yes.
Brennan Less answered yes, so I'm going to say no.
What, Brandon?
I have no idea what's going on anymore, Salsa. I don't know that I knew from the get-go, frankly.
Who's Brandon?
Brennan.
Brennan?
Yeah, Brennan Lee Mulligan.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, I'm you're assuming an awful lot, James.
Well, you know what happens when you assume.
No, I don't. You tell me.
You are sometimes correct.
Oh. Huh. Well, I should have probably assumed then. Instead of asking you for clarification. Question number 1, food poisoning or norovirus?
Yeah.
Which did you get from going to a holiday party last week?
Neither.
Neither. But we have to pick one.
Luckily. Well, I would say...
So I'm going with food poison. I did get food poisoning at a holiday party last week.
Did you?
Because I drank alcohol, and that is poison.
Yes.
So I poisoned myself.
There we go.
I definitely had a hangover. Oof. Let's go with that.
Cool. All right.
Question number 2, holiday cheer or wassail? Which drink is better? The one is holiday cheer a drink?
I guess.
I don't know, going wassail.
James, can you describe a holiday cheer?
I know that I've had it, but I don't remember I don't remember what was in it.
I'm going to look it up because now I'm curious, but yeah. Please keep going.
Connected to a series of tubes.
Yeah. Question number 3, Michael Bublé or George Michael, which singer is less annoying to hear during December?
I'd say Bublé. Michael Bublé.
I'm not annoyed by either of them. I think I'd be less annoyed by George Michael because at least I know what I'm listening to.
Yeah, because Bublés don't count during tournaments.
Oh my God, James.
I could totally listen to some Faith during Christmas.
Hold faith, the faith, fucking faith. Phone.
I gotta have faith.
A holiday cheer is cranberry vodka sparkling cider. Oh, tonic water. God damn it.
Ooh.
And you lost me at
cranberry, so.
I fucking love
cranberry. That's the line?
Yeah. Cranberry's wild. Gross.
Fucking love cranberry.
What? Okay.
Cranberry is gross. What is so confusing about this?
Yeah, for me, it's the tonic water. I don't want the tonic water.
I don't object to either of those.
The wassail.
I will drink cranberry juice or tonic water. I will drink cranberry juice with tonic water.
Well, this is why you neither get UTIs or malaria. Yeah.
And also, Salsa, I'm going to say you should probably stop doing that with mosquitoes.
I'm tired.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm a capricious god.
I'm actually telling you what not to do.
Don't tell me what not to do. I'm a capricious god.
So if I can't tell you what not to do, does that mean yes. I can tell you what to do?
No, it means shut the fuck up, Donnie. You're out of your element.
You can't tell me what to do.
I absolutely can.
You can't tell him what to do. You're a capricious god.
Conditionally shut the fuck up.
Go through this series of logic gates to determine whether or not you can shut the fuck up or not. Question number four, one thing or all the things. What do you think the author meant they were receiving from their true love each of the 12 days of Christmas?
Yeah, because someone was like, at the end, it's like it's 320 birds.
Oh, I see.
And like a dozen, what is it, 12 pipers. But then that means that it's 22 ladies dancing and...
No.
11 maids of milking.
I do not think there's compounding interest. I don't think there were 12 partridges in a pear tree. I think
grammatically,
there was partridge in a pear tree.
Grammatically, they are giving new things every time because they don't say that they say on the second day, two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
I understand that.
So
that's... I believe this is one of those times wherein being grammatically correct does not mean that you are right. I know this is a hard concept for you, Salsa.
So they're just lying.
Fudging
the truth. Poetic license.
There you go.
Well,
either that
it's
or
not
it's
a poem,
like a
though.
Yeah, well, it's a
for Christmas. My wife gave me a BMW. It's not a lie. It's just poetic license.
For varying values of BMW.
I suppose there's that.
Like that. That's what the sentence structure. Never mind. You don't. Clearly, obviously, the answer is yes. They are getting multiples because they at the end of the list say and. Mm-hmm.
Nope. Disagree.
It's gonna be a really full house.
We'll have to. I mean, even if they were just getting the individual things, it would still be a pretty fucking full house.
Right. That's still.
Well, and I guess it depends on how they're cooking them, because like, are you spatchcocking the Lords of Leaping?
No, hold on. Who said anything about cooking?
I mean,
I think James was making another assumption.
Nobody said anything about cooking.
I'm just thinking all those birds.
Yeah, they're geese allaying. If they're dead, they're not allaying.
Yeah, they're allaying there.
No, they're just a bunch of living birds. Why would you put a dead partridge in a tree? That's weird, man.
It's a pear tree, because you know, like birds, and then certain kinds of fruit.
So it's
really
a partridge,
well.
But it's a pear of trees.
Yeah,
three gifts. Every day for 12 days. On top of...
Oh my god, I feel like I'm done with this one.
Okay, question number five, yes or no.
Yes.
Would you consider running for a position in local politics?
Yeah. I've considered it.
Have you met me?
Yeah.
I considered it and then remembered that I did vilification tennis for like 18 years. So
also that.
Although that didn't stop Mark.
Put the fear of salsa in them.
There are pictures of me standing on that stage, standing right next to Mark in blackface. That will go over well.
Yeah.
Also, Captain Neurospicy over here would not do well in politics. And the first time anybody asked me anything about policy, I'd just go, it's fucking duh. Like, don't be such a dingus about it.
I feel like that's a fine answer. Don't be such a dingus.
Oh my God.
I mean,
just ask your assistant, what's the like legally acceptable term for don't be an asshole?
And then I would say, don't be an asshole, because that's not, I'm not,
yeah.
I would not do well in politics. Like, I completely understand that we need more people to step up and be local, you know, leaders, because that's how change happens, is at the local level. We need those people. I am self-aware enough to know I am not that person.
Maybe I should go into politics.
I think you would do okay.
I think I'd do fine. It's the same reason why I never got my therapist's license. Like,
I love you, James.
Oh, have you met people?
I love you, James, but you would get eaten alive.
Probably.
You would be way too nice.
There's a sort of a taped off area. And that is when people are doing something that negatively impacts others, selfishly, ungratefully.
I see.
Ignorantly. And that's kind of where the dad pants get put on. Like,
sure,
that's,
yeah, but I'm just talking about like the standard mudslinging, the day to day, you know.
Sure.
Like, I feel like you would not have the upper hand in that.
My mudslinging would be very different. Like, very in 1999, this person failed to return their shopping cart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
All right. Closing thoughts. Given the incredibly sour political climate we're facing for the next 4 years, it seems that the only way to enact truly progressive changes is from the ground up. The preceding statement does not necessarily reflect the views of the committee as a whole and should not be treated as such. The committee does not have any firm opinion, except that it is funny when the AON hosts do not know for certain the identity of a Fast Five author.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. It is funny, I'm kind of mad about it. That.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much for sending in that Fast Five and committee. Yeah. If you would like to send a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on submit a Fast Five,
please,
and fill out the form. Does anybody have any shout outs?
I'm gonna give a shout out to, I didn't mention this in things that I did last week because mostly my period is pissing me off, but we also did a Gentacular, and I am sad that Salsa was unable to make it because he had to go push buttons or something.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I know, okay. But it's really funny to me that you go volunteer to push buttons.
That's I didn't go to the Gentacular because my wife had COVID.
I know. I was,
all right.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You're pushing my buttons right now.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
God damn it. You could be a little more mysterious, honestly.
Is this not mysterious enough already?
Anyway, shout out to everybody that showed up to the Gentacular. There were people hanging off the ceiling fans. It was incredible. I had a lovely moment where I got to make vegan gluten-free pancakes for Angela. That didn't suck. And she was literally bouncing. She was so happy to have pancakes. She hadn't had pancakes in years. And I was just like, I did a good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lovely time. So many wonderful people showed up and hung out. Yeah, thank you to everybody that came by.
I'm going to give a shout out. This is kind of a weird one. Surprising, I think, no one. I have a couple of coworkers that have really taken it upon themselves to make my work life better. And I sincerely appreciate their mentorship, their kindness, their thoughtfulness. And my boss is among those people, but also just peers in my department. And whether it's just like quick chit chat before a meeting, or whether it's a willingness to run something when I'm not there, or backing me up on a decision that I've made as a more junior engineer and saying, no, this decision is a good decision, and his reasoning is good, that kind of stuff. Like, I feel really supported, and it's nice. So I have thanked each of them individually, but I really appreciate the people that I work with. So shout out to them.
Okay. So.
I'm going to give a shout out to something that I haven't given a shout out to for a long time. And that is Giving Blood.
Yay.
It's been a dog's age since I have done that. Just because life happened, and then I was traveling overseas, and then I got tattoos and everything. Then I had kids, and things just, it kind of became one of those things that it was out of sight, out of mind. And if it's not in my sight, I have no object permanence. So I absolutely kind of forgot that it was a thing. I recently donated blood again. Just after the holidays, and it was one of those things. It's just like, oh yeah, it's a familiar thing, like a homecoming almost, to go back and do that. So if you are the kind of person who is able to give blood, and you know, do not have a squeamishness around needles and things like that, by all means, please do so. If you are not able to, or have squeamishnesses or things like that, that's okay. Nobody is making you do it, and people like me do what we can because other people can't, and that's how we do it. So
I believe I've said this before on the podcast, but my life was saved by blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them.
Yep.
When I was two, it was a lot. And I cannot, for multiple reasons, actually donate blood, but
yeah.
Oh God, now I'm going to have to say something nice about Salsa every time.
No, you don't.
Time.
You don't have to say it. No. This
no,
is...
I do.
No, you
every,
don't.
Everyone who donates blood is a hero to me.
Oh.
Every fucking person. And sadly, that also includes Salsa. Ugh, gross. I called him God. I called him a hero. He's going to have an ego. Fuck.
Oh, he already did. Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. People who donate blood are fucking heroes. That's just all there is to it.
Does anybody have any shout outs? Any plugs?
Nah, I'm still doing Twitch, but cool. Maybe not this Wednesday, so nope.
All right.
The third Sunday of every month is a Vail show. Okay. Keep up with the news at vil10.net and come see it. It's just getting better and better.
Can't get any voice. Anyway, does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to N Committee for sending in the Fast Five. We do need more, so please get those sent in. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa!
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.